Coming down the home stretch here on DVD, and we will hand the baton off to Joe Rexroad and Paul Kuharski sitting in for Stillman and Company today.
That's it. He's coming in hot.
Spicy. Oh, they're going to come in hot.
Coming in hot.
No question about it. But as we promised you earlier, we got a special guest here, Tyler Kepner, longtime writer for the New York Times, covered several baseball teams, and now writes for The Athletic. He wrote a great column on baseball's decision, Rob Manfred's decision, to lift the deceased players from the permanently ineligible list, which now makes them fair game to be voted on for the Baseball Hall of Fame. So Tyler's got great perspective on this. Tyler, thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure thing. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. So Tyler, first of all, did you see this coming? Did you have any inkling that of the timing of this?
Yeah, we had had a heads up that it was coming pretty soon, and that's how I was able to write a story beforehand that they could just put right on the site. So sometimes you get kind of a heads up from the people involved.
So as you thought about it and you knew what was ahead here, Derek and I have been talking a lot about the process now, because of course Derek has been up for a lot of Hall of Fames, including the NFL Hall of Fame. And we were just talking about the different ways that different associations vote on a Hall of Fame. And what's ahead for Pete Rose is now basically a committee of 16 people. What do you know about the makeup of those 16 people?
Well, it always varies every year. So there's no way to know right now who exactly will be on the December 2027 committee that is the one that will rule on Pete. You know, that they change it every year, rotates, you know, judging different eras, 1980 to present, previous to 1980, and then another pool of like managers and umpires and execs kind of thing. So the Pete would be prior to 1980 having made its biggest contributions. So that doesn't come up till December 2027, and that group is generally made up of about half of it is usually Hall of Famers themselves. And then there's usually about four historian type, writer type, you know, veteran kind of guys. Maybe me someday, I hope. and then four executives.
So you in theory, you could be on this. You
panel.
Could be on
theory,
this committee.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, you know, but I'm only 50 and I haven't served on one before. So they tend to skew a little bit older, but yeah, so you get, you know, it's eclectic. You know, you might get a GM, you might get a team president or an owner, and then you might get any combination of like eight Hall of Famers, just roll the dice and you don't know who you'll get. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
Now, Tyler, I guess the other interesting part about this, and we've talked about it, is, you know, when this group, this 16 members get together, and you don't know what 16 is going to be, how many of those individuals were outspoken with Pete Rose about not getting in, saying he shouldn't deserve to be in, or those that sort of was like, hey, let him in, he's been out long enough? I'm sure that will be a big talking point once that time and day come, because that's essentially is going to determine whether he gets in or not, at least in 2027.
Correct. And that's why, these small committees, people often, will say it's rigged or whatever, because you can, when the Hall of Fame puts together the panel, you know, a lot of times they do know, you know, where these guys stand on certain issues. You know, that has come up in the steroid stuff. You know, when you put certain guys in the committee and they've already said publicly that they wouldn't vote for steroid guys, well, you know how that's going to go. But one interesting thing is that it's not as if they just sort of hand out their ballots separately. It's a group, you know, it's a room at the winter meetings, and you have to be there in the room. And so it allows for a lot of debate among these 16 people around the round table or whatever. So there can be arguments that might sway somebody in the moment. So that's that, I think. You know, even though it's obviously an incendiary issue, and it's hard to get 75% on any issue that's like this, when you're all in the same room, it's kind of like a jury room, I guess, you might be able to reach more of a consensus.
We're talking with Tyler Kepner of The Athletic talking on Pete Rose. Now, with that being said, I'm sure, and this is another question Will and I were sort of trying to answer, like the outside pressure when that day does come, how much it's going to be on those 16 individuals to either let them in or let them not in. And I'm not even talking about what's going on inside the room. I'm talking about the fan bases and everybody else that have followed baseball for the longest, and those that maybe wanted them in and those that didn't. Maybe the voices are louder that didn't want them in or did want them in. So the pressure they're going to potentially feel from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that they'll have to think about. The good thing for their sake is that you know, it is an anonymous ballot, unlike a lot of ballots, and it never really gets out. I mean, it's like those people, you know, are very, very guarded about who voted for whom, and they don't like to even approach that. So, in fact, they don't release the totals once you get down to a certain level. Like, they'll say fewer than 8 votes or something, or fewer than 4 votes. So you don't know exactly who got what when it's down to a certain number. So it's pretty secret, and I'm sure it'll be secretive in that one too, and a lot of people will be guessing who, you know, who voted for whom. And wouldn't it be funny if, like, you had this ballot and like Tommy John makes it, but not Pete Rose. So, you know, 'cause the Pete Rose thing is strictly on how you interpret the moral clause. Because there's no doubt, you know, you don't even have to spend any time on his numbers. He's obviously in on his numbers. So the entire conversation is just about the propriety of putting in someone who was banned for the rest of his life for gambling. And, you know, if they do ask you to consider character, integrity, and sportsmanship, as they ask the writers to do, it's kind of hard to get past that, I think.
Now, do you know how, and I know this information just came out, but do you get a sense of how does his family, I know they're excited that he's getting in, but there also has to be this feeling of, you know, you could have did this prior to him passing.
Well, right. Yes and no. I mean, his oldest daughter from his first marriage was the driver behind this, you know, working with a lawyer who impressed upon Manfred, you know, the idea that, you know, hey, maybe once you're, it's sort of parsing the language, right? Mm-hmm. Permanently ineligible is how they described it, not lifetime ban, but colloquially it's known as a lifetime ban. So when your lifetime is over, shouldn't the ban be over as well? And that's the position essentially that Manfred took. And also there was some pressure from Trump, President Trump, who has talked about his advocacy for Pete's case. And he's talked about that with Manfred personally as well. And so obviously that's an extremely influential person too, in his own way. So, you know, I think all those factors went into it happening now, but I don't think it could have happened while he was alive. Certainly by the end of Pete's life, he had come to believe that it would never happen when he was alive. And he had chances to, as Bart Giamatti instructed him, to reconfigure his life. And he didn't really do that ever to baseball's satisfaction. And it took him forever, 15 years, to admit what baseball had found. So, you know, there was a lot of ill will that built up when Pete could have been building bridges.
Tyler Koeppner is with us from The Athletic. We're talking about this new chapter in the Pete Rose saga. Now, what about Shoeless Joe Jackson, Tyler? I was debating this in my own mind this morning. Do you think he will have an easier time getting in or a harder time getting in, or maybe the same as Pete Rose?
Well, there is precedent for him, you know, having been voted on, because this rule about being on the ineligible list for baseball equating to being ineligible for the Hall of Fame, that didn't come around until 1991, right before Pete was eligible to be on the ballot. So Shoeless Joe had been considered previously and had not made it, obviously, again, you know, because of the Black Sox scandal, not because of his playing skills, because that would have been an obvious obvious yes. So, you know, he has had the chance before, and I would think he'd come up again for sure. But it's kind of the same issue. I wonder if maybe now the ambiguity of his case could help him, in the sense, like, there's no doubt that Pete Rose bet on the Cincinnati Reds to win as manager. At minimum, that's what baseball has proven and what Pete has admitted to. But the Shoeless Joe Jackson thing, there's so much doubt about whether he tried to lose games on purpose. He hit 375 in the World Series. He had 12 hits and all that stuff. So if you can convince people in that room that Shoeless Joe didn't throw the World Series, then I wouldn't be surprised if he got in.
And this also leads to another one that I don't know that we can answer, but do you think this has any effect on Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, just because this whole thing will get tight? In other words, if Rose and Jackson get in, does that help or affect in any way the steroid group?
I think it might, because let's say those guys get in and they have served literally lifetime banishments from the game.
Effectively, no yeah. question. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you keep out people who were never banned from the game? They were suspended in some cases, like A-Rod or Manny Ramirez, but they never did anything that rose to the level that you would ban them for life. So, I don't know. I mean, you might get some people who say, hey, I don't care. It's cheating. And, those guys, Shoeless Joe and Pete, it was different. I mean, every case is a little different, right? Steroids hit people a different, in a different moral kind of lens. It's really hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. I mean, logically, you could say it one way, but so much of it comes down to feel, and it's hard to predict that.
Well, Tyler, this is great stuff. I'm sure you've been mulling this over all day and talking to people about this, and we'll see where it goes from here. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pete Rose night tonight in Cincinnati?
Yeah, there's something like Pete Rose Day, Pete Rose Night, whatever. It's so funny though. They're playing the White Sox of all teams. that was the Black Sox World Series 1919. White Sox and Reds. They don't play much. They don't play each other that often. And it's pretty amazing scheduling by the baseball gods to have them going at it tonight.
I wonder how the atmosphere is going to be and what they talk about. I'll be keeping an eye on that. Tyler, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again here very soon.
All right, thanks a lot, fellas.
All right, good stuff, Tyler Kepner. From The Athletic, baseball writer, check out his article on this whole Pete Rose saga. Interesting stuff, as always. When we come back, we won't be here. We're done for the day. We're going to pass the baton. Joe Rexroth and Paul Kuharski, this is going to be a fun show. They're taking Jared's time slot with Jared on vacation, so Stillman & Company will be occupied. The company today, Rexroth and Kuharski. Can't wait to hear that. Derek and I will be back with you tomorrow from noon to 3 on DVD, and then we're back full strength with Adam Friday from 11 to 2.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Wednesday. Hump day. Peace.